discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Love thy neighbor is a biblical command our country and communities can use today more than ever. As we see crime, despair, and discord in our communities, what people desperately need is love, healing, and compassion. In what statistics may say is one of America's most dangerous neighborhoods, today we find a faith community showing us the way to put our beliefs into action, loving and serving those on the block. Doug Logan pastors Epiphany Fellowship Church of Camden, New Jersey, and joins us today on the road. A warm welcome to you, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me, bro.
Oh, it's a delight to have you, sir, and it was a delight to read your book. The new book is called On the Block, Developing a Biblical Picture for Missional Engagement. And as we begin, Pastor, could you just paint the picture for us of the challenges of Camden? I know quite a few of us have probably seen a headline or two, but introduce us to your community, if you would.
Well, yeah, Camden is one of America's most dangerous, most violent, most poor cities. We've ranked in the top five for at least 20 years. We're much like Newark, New Jersey, Detroit, Chicago, and I've been praying a lot for Chicago in these days and their challenges. But yeah, we're just a miniature. You know, we're just 77,000 people. But it's crime-ridden streets. It's challenges of education system. Of course, drugs and prostitution. Overall, single-parent homes, violent crimes. We lead in murder per capita. There's just a host of inundated, so high concentration of poverty issues that come with the broken inner cities of America that can be so systemic, that are systemic and just systemically broken. So that's where I live, man.
And yet, in the heart of what in so many ways can be dark, there's this faith community of Epiphany Fellowship. A pretty special place, sir. Take us inside your mission and maybe show us a little bit about what a week at your church might look like.
Oh, man. Well, in the midst of all those challenges, I often say, you know, Aslan is yet on the move, which is in trouble. So, yeah, but yeah, man, a week for us is just, man, we can go from hanging on a block with some cats out on the street sharing the gospel to from the corner to my house, drinking some sparkling water and some coffee, talking some junk, and then to my sons next door where they're playing Madden and talking about Jesus and arguing about LeBron over Steph Curry, and then that can turn into an impromptu Bible study that leads our way right into worship on Sunday. Right, in Kramer Hill section, North Camden section of Camden, where we get down there, man, and exalt our King Jesus to the highest in the midst of a crazy week, in the midst of a regular week. And we'd go in that, we're pretty multi-ethnic, so we're like about 40% Anglo, we're mixed up Latino, African-American, we're a Skittles church loaded with all different kinds of people. And just, we worship and enjoy Jesus, preach him hard, and try to love hard, preach hard, worship hard, and go home and sleep hard. So,
can I just say that is one of my favorite answers that I've ever heard on this program, because you used both the Chronicles of Narnia and Skittles in the same answer. That was so cool. Thank you for that. You have said that you found a fertile mission field on the block in Camden, and you're reaching out, as you described, to drug dealers, to gang members, and folks across the economic spectrum. We would probably make the assumption that these folks would be among the toughest to reach with the gospel, but you have not necessarily found that to be the case. Is that a fair way to say it?
Well, that's a fair way to say it, and you know, that's definitely a fair way to say it. But here's the case I would make, is that not because I have a silver bullet urban ministry Yoda ability. I'm a Padawan of Jesus myself. I'm simply saying that the gospel, there's no hard day for Jesus. Jesus doesn't take creatine to reach drug dealers and then just drink mineral water to reach executives. That's not what he does. His power is eternal, everlasting, almighty. He is the God who saves, and his sovereignty supersedes all my strategy, right? So I by faith trust him to go, and then he wills and works how he wants. I trust him. And so I would say that the gospel is as powerful for a hardened person that's on the streets of Camden as it is for a hardened person on the streets of Wall Street. And so, but the missionary takes the message of this gospel, and that tears down all walls of division, therefore abolishing the separation of God and man through repentance and faith. And the message of the gospel is a transforming, beautiful message. When heard and received, transformation takes place from darkness to life. That's a powerful gospel. We have a powerful gospel, not a situational, strategic gospel, but we have a gospel that works, that God blesses us by using strategies that we steal from Scripture to utilize on the streets today. But it's his saving, it's his work, it's his power, it's his grace. I'm just a deliverer of a message and a lover of hurting people and broken people, because I too am hurting and broken, in need of love. So a drug dealer responds to the need of a savior because he needs a savior. How hard he is. He ain't harder than Jesus.
Amen. Oh man, I'm smiling from ear to ear already, and it's, we've only been talking 7 minutes. This is amazing. Pastor Doug Logan is senior pastor of Epiphany Fellowship in Camden, New Jersey, author of the new book, On the Block, Developing a Biblical Picture for Missional Engagement. And I want to get to the heart of your book in just a moment. But first, if you would press the rewind button with me, I just want to go back and talk a little bit about your faith journey. Did you come to believe in Jesus early in life, or was it a journey with quite a few layers to it?
Oh, multiple layers. I'm like one of them onions at Outback, multiple layers, just falling off, greasy. And around 26 years old, came to faith one night. Thought I was left behind. I was living with a young lady, and she was an atheist, and I was an unbeliever. I was an agnostic at best, and thought Jesus was cool, but didn't want to be bothered with him because he would mess up my high. And so he was cool for Sunday, but when the game came on, he was out of here. And so by faith, man, by God's grace, man, the Lord saved me one crazy night on a Thursday. I got up Friday and got married to this atheist woman who came to know Jesus that morning when I woke up and told her that I feel the Lord saved me, and I believe that I'm a Christian now, and I can't go on like this. And I said, man, well, if we're going to be together, I want to be married, and I want to walk with Jesus. So she says, all right, I'll walk with Jesus too. And we went and got married at the Justice of the Peace that next morning. And about a week later, I was preaching out and around the worst sermons you ever heard. And
so the bug for pastoring came right away. Like there was no period of sort of inactivity. You went straight from salvation to proclaiming the gospel.
Oh yeah, I was just a little church boy. I didn't see no different. When I look at the Bible, the little bit I knew at that time, Paul got saved, baptized, and started preaching.
That's amazing.
You knew Jesus, you're supposed to talk about him all the time. So it was that simple for me.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, one of the ways that you summarize your message in On the Block is to say, your quote is, "We are on a rescue mission, not a recruiting mission." Take us inside that statement.
Often we can have a posture of gathering people for the purpose of planting a church. So we wound up recruiting humans saved primarily for the purpose of building a church plant so we can justify the money we've raised and our denominational institutional funding that we have to fund, that we have to satisfy the numbers of. So we lose our missional fervor and our passion and our fitness to the least, the last, and the lost for the purpose of gathering people for our preaching platform when we need to let that go and tell our mission agencies and our denominations to fall back. We going hard for those who don't believe, and we, by God's grace, will grab some that do believe in the in that gathering time. And so I don't want to recruit people to my church. I want to see people rescued by the grace of God, transferring them from darkness to life, moving them from spiritual death to spiritual life, and then growing them from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. Yeah, so, and what happens, you know, what happens, Ryan, is cats then begin to, these pastors, and I've done it myself, begin to gather a bunch of Christians, and you know who in the city doesn't get reached? The lost. Because once we get those numbers up, we move from into programmatic stuff, and now often our programs are often internal, better youth groups, better children's ministry, better small groups, but often no reaching the least, last, and the loss of the city, because now we have to manage the 300 people we put in a room who had an expectation of consumerism and not mission. And so once we move from, once we repent of our recruitment, absent rescue, man, then we recognize who we are. We are carriers of a message of rescue. We are those who aren't the life preserver, but we throw the life preserver of the gospel message to people drowning in sins. And now we move to operators of seeing the real picture of somebody who doesn't know Jesus on their way to hell. And now there becomes a holy urgency, a missional fervor and passion that drives us to see people that don't know him, meet him, and love him. And then soon as they get on the boat, they get handed a life preserver, this gospel message, because the Great Commission says to take the gospel to the nation. And then now the person we rescued becomes immediately in the Red Cross helping us rescue the next group. So we are on a constant rescue mission. Why? Because we have most intimacy. Our intimacy comes from us being rescued. So God rescued us, so we know what it's like, and we know the joy that we got when we were drowning in sin and were saved. Man, listen, that same thing, the exaltation of Jesus ought to drive us to stick our hand back in that water where the sharks are and pull another person out and pull another person out. And that's for, so when we think rescue over recruit, I'm not trying to convince you to come to my church because I got a cool web page and some good core values. I'm trying to tell you the gospel demands you trust Christ as Savior. It demands you bow your knee to the King. He's trying to rescue you. He's seeking to save the lost. That changes everything for me. And let me tell you something. My recruitment wouldn't be that good because I'm not that good. I recruit you to me, you'll just be bored to death in an hour.
So. I very much do not believe that statement. But oh, my word. Doug Logan is with us here today on the road. Senior pastor of Epiphany Fellowship of Camden, New Jersey. Author of the new book, On the Block, Developing a Biblical Picture for Missional Engagement. A man full of joy, full of the Spirit of the Lord, as you can hear him. Much of this book is dedicated to helping others pursue their blocks. And you say that no matter whether you're in the suburbs, the inner city, or even in the country, one of the provoking observations at the center of the book is that there are a lot of folks on that block, as you've just been describing, who won't come to us. They're not going to step foot in church voluntarily. And so we have to go to them and to serve them. How do we begin to make that change to our thinking?
Well, for me, brother, and I'm pretty simple. The way we make that change is that we allow the scriptures to shape us and not our strategy to shape us. See, The scriptures tell me to go and make disciples of all nations. The scriptures tell me that you shall be my witnesses. The scriptures tell me you're going to cast out demons and see sick healed. The scriptures tell me all about that. Paul walks into Athens and he's provoked by the Spirit and he challenges. I see throughout the scriptures an engagement of those who don't know Jesus to share Christ with them. And so I'm just a little church boy. I just want to try to do what the Bible says. That's all. I just want to do what the Bible says. So what we need to do is not change strategy, but we need to repent of us not doing what the Bible says. And then from that repentance, come out of that walking and recognizing that it is difficult, it is challenging, it is becoming counterintuitive, if you will, to go hard, to reach, to come out of our pulpits, out of our four walls to the street. I get it. And it is difficult. And it goes against our introversion.
Yeah.
And it plays to extroverts. It's scary. It's crazy. It's fearful. It's dangerous. And so what we have to do is, man, we just got to repent. And we got to remember the joy that we remember of our salvation. I just long to see that in others. Man, see, I remember Isaiah Thomas back in the day. He talked about, the great point guard from Detroit talked about, when he would throw all those assists. He says he would love to thread the needle to get the pass to Vinnie Johnson. And he says, as soon as he threw it and Vinnie would score, he couldn't wait to do it again because of the exhilarating feeling. And so that's what I want Christians to have, an exhilarating feeling of seeing people engaged with the gospel and to look forward to doing that all the time. And that moves us to where the place they are. So the place I call the block is just where life happens. It's where drug dealers hang, where drug addicts hang. It's also where kids, little girls play double dutch. It's also where a cookout breaks out for no good reason, just because somebody had some hot dogs from the dollar store and a cheap grill. It's the same place where the fire hydrant pops up and we have a stand-up pool party. It's all the place where life happens. And we live there, we talk there, we love them there, and we share the gospel right there in that. And we've got to come outside. They're not coming. Hey, Brother Ryan, let me tell you something, bro. We have something, once it starts getting warm, we have a cookout in our parking lot every Sunday.
Yes.
Now, on a Sunday, we might have 100 people at the church on Sunday morning. 300 be at the cookout. Church starts after the benediction for most people in around my church. So after I say now the devil was able to keep it from falling and close with the benediction, I have 200 members outside waiting to do the electric slide and eat hot dogs and dance to Lecrae. And you know what I'm saying? So,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, we got to come outside. That's where they are. And if they're out there, I want the exhilarating feeling of sharing the gospel with them, seeing them converted, baptizing them. I just can't wait, just like Isaiah Thomas, to do it again next time down the court. We just got to repent, man, of hiding behind the walls, hiding behind our theology, and just get out there and let's be vulnerable and accept that, yeah, we're going to get rejected at some point. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, we might be hated. And in some cities like Chicago, we see those multiple murders, and you might get killed, but don't fear the man that can kill your body.
Oh, man. So good. So good.
Yeah, we trust in a God who can do it.
Pastor Doug Logan is with us. The joy in this man's heart bubbles right through his voice, and you can hear it here today. It's an amazing story. You spend a portion of this book is saying something quite extraordinary. Here's a quote. It's going to cost you something to follow Jesus in building up what has been broken down. The calling of God is not pretty and neat. It doesn't fit perfectly into our ideal denominational box. It is messy and dangerous. Lives are at stake. There are housing and racial implications, and it can often cost the inner city missionary everything. Those are some powerful words, Pastor, and I'm guessing the question they might well bring to mind for many is, why is it worth it? If I know this life is going to be like this, why is it a life that I should choose?
Because it's a life that Jesus chose for you. You have no autonomy to choose your own. As a believer, we submit to our King. We submit to the station in which the King has called us to. And it's worth it because Jesus has called us to it. And the safest place, old church, we would say the safest place is in the will of God. And if God has called you to a dangerous place, He's going to be with you in that dangerous place. Mm. And he's promised that, didn't he? He says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeah. He's promised not to leave us as orphans. He's promised not to forsake us. He's promised to give us that it would be by His power, His Holy Ghost power, that these things would happen. It wouldn't depend on my ability, but it would depend on His ability, His perfection, His plan. See, when my son was little, I got three sons, and my youngest always liked to help. My other two were more video kids and toy kids. My youngest, Avery, he always wanted me to help me. So when I would carry a chair, I had about 15 steps to go up to my house. So when I would carry the chair up the steps, he would say, Dad, I want to help. He was like three. He couldn't help. But he touched the chair barely, right?
Yeah.
And then we got to the top of the steps, he would stick his hand out for his payment, which was a piece of candy. And so, you know, that's what it's like with Jesus, right? He does all the heavy lifting, and we just get the blessing of all the heavy lifting He does. And He gives us the reward as if we lifted something. He was lifted up and died in our place. He was our substitute. He is our atonement. And therefore, in His calling is my life. And therefore, that's a beautiful place to be, is where God calls. Mm. So if it's dangerous, so be it. If it's, listen, I wouldn't be mad if later in life God called me to somewhere near a beach. Cool. I'd take that too. And I wouldn't be saying, nah, I need the hood. I need some gunshots. Nah, I'll take the beach and chill and air condition with no problem. So, but God has just happened to call me to a place near a beach called Atlantic City. But right now I am in Camden, New Jersey, and I am happy to serve Jesus here because often I'm just amazed that He saved a wretch like me. So if He can move me from an enemy to a friend and then put me on His staff, and I should be in hell, but I get to be on the staff of Jesus when I was His enemy. Christians would never pass a background check, and none of us would pass a background check. But yeah. God, He does a front round check because He knows where we're going, and then He still enlists us to be on His team. And so wherever that is, I don't deserve any of it. I deserve death, but if He saved me, I didn't deserve that. And then He enlisted me to be a pastor in a city. Shoot, I'm happy to do it, and it's all worth it when I see so many people come to know Jesus, walking with Him now. It's worth every gunshot, every bullet that hit the side of my house, and multiple bullets have. It's worth every bit of it to see the smile on an unbeliever's face who becomes a Christian, and they come up in that water, and next thing you know, they sing it, "Here I am to worship," when they just could care less about worship. That's why. That's what gives me the trust in Jesus is what helps me to get through every day of this rugged, rough, violent city.
It's a message that reaches right down into your heart and just activates something. Just unbelievable words of hope and a vision from Pastor Doug Logan, the senior pastor of Epiphany Fellowship of Camden, New Jersey, author of the new book, On the Block, Developing a Biblical Picture for Missional Engagement. And sir, I do not want to say farewell to you without giving you the chance to tell us if we are fascinated, if we are just encouraged and inspired by what you've had to say today. Where can we go to find the book, sir?
Oh, brother, you can go right to, of course, you can go to Amazon, and they've got a good deal going on Amazon now. You can go to Barnes & Noble online, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to MoodyPublishers.com, and it's all up there. It's in Kindle. It's in paperback. And, grab that thing. I pray it's a blessing and a tool to help people who are having a hard time seeing their city reached because of fear and challenges and not counting the cost, that they would use this as a tool, not as my argument for how good I am in evangelism, because I'm not that good, it's God, but just a helper, just a tool in the toolbox of all the things God has given, all the gifts he's given to so many of his followers. Just a tool to help us continue to drive the message to the least, the last, and the lost on the streets all across this country. So yeah, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Moody.com, all of those outlets you can grab it.
Well, Pastor Doug, it has been a joy to talk with you today, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time, and keep up the great work, okay?
God be the glory, Brother Ryan. Thank you so much for having me, man. Stay warm out there in that freezing cold Twin City, Minneapolis, and get some snow tires.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.